Welcome, Ennio Julia, to the show, all the ways from British Columbia, Victoria, in Canada. That'd be about right, wouldn't it? Would you like to introduce yourself?
I would love to, sure. So, like you said, my name is K. Julia Stamp. I'm a queer woman living with a mental illness. Specifically, I'm diagnosed with a severe form of ADHD. I completed a four-year honors degree in criminology from the University of the Fraser Valley before spending 2 years downtown Eastside Vancouver living in an off-site SRO and then 3 years panhandling on the Fort Yates Douglas block of downtown Victoria, British Columbia, which is where I live now. So when you were talking about exposure therapy, I was like, yes, I too have had to overcome a lot of fear in my life. For me, if I'm just allowed to talk about myself.
Yeah, that's what you're here for.
Perfect. Yeah, well, so for me, defeating that fear, and like you were saying, like the phobias and the panic and the anxiety, and for me too, personally, a lot of self-doubt.
Okay.
I've come at those things with honesty, definitely with others, being honest about my own experiences, my own needs. Right.
Okay.
Obviously with clear boundaries in place. Integrity, which is just honesty with yourself, right? About, again, with your own needs, my own needs, right? Being honest with myself, integrity. Empathy, which is meeting people where they're at. And the big one for me, the one that I actually had a lot of trouble with personally, was with assertiveness versus being passive or like overly aggressive. So like finding that balance between letting people walk all over you and walking over other people.
Mm-hmm.
That for me, I think, was the biggest challenge in coming through that self-doubt and that fear and that panic and that anxiety and those phobias, right? Was, you know, having that honesty, integrity, and empathy, but using it in a way that wasn't, not just kind of walking over people,
So I suppose, yeah. So, you know, even going back to what I was talking about, the fear, like, you know, I mean, you had the fear then of being passive aggressive or being aggressive, you know, and trying to find that balance within it is obviously, it is a hard balance to try and find that place, you know?
Exactly. Well, I tried it both ways, I would say. I tried being very, very open in terms of what I needed, but I wasn't being honest with myself. I felt like I didn't have that integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started trying to focus more on myself, I became very passive.
Oh,
I would let people walk over me because I was trying to rein that in, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so if being honest with other people without integrity is kind of setting them against me, right? This us versus them, kind of that black and white thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But the quote unquote opposite wasn't working either, right? Just internalizing everything wasn't helping either. So it was really building that honesty, not just with others, but with myself about my own needs and saying to myself, hey, you know what you're doing right now isn't cool.
Mm-hmm.
Boundaries, self-boundaries almost.
So it's just a reflective piece on yourself, like you going on in your own head where you were trying to figure out that balance and trying to figure out, you know, and tapping into the integrity and the honesty as well. So there's a lot going on,
absolutely.
Really, isn't there? There's a lot going on in one's head at the same time, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where I've found therapy to be very helpful because I've been able to practice that assertiveness, right? The boundaries with myself and with others and the empathy piece too, right? Meeting people where they're at. So when someone says something that maybe you don't agree with, instead of immediately assuming either, oh, well, they're out to get me, or the opposite, which is that, oh, I must just be wrong, finding that middle ground of, you know, can we not compromise, but is there a way we can cooperate on this?
Yeah, without you taking it personally.
Exactly, yeah. And hopefully without them taking it personally either, but of course you can't control other people's reactions. All you can do, in my mind, is just be honest and operate with integrity.
Yeah, and try not to let whatever they're saying trigger something in you, or even, I suppose, when I think about things like that, I would think about parking whatever's been triggered in you and then bringing that to your therapist and trying to figure out why it's being triggered.
Well, exactly, yeah. And also to being cognizant of what might trigger other people, right? Again, that empathy piece. Because I've found that only concentrating on me was detrimental to the people around me, but only thinking about other people was detrimental to me personally. And so, yeah, I was trying to find that middle ground and that balance. And like you said, having a therapist to kind of talk those things out with is definitely helpful. For me, therapy has been like a superhero's origin story. Like, I went to therapy and it changed so much in my life. I don't want to say a completely different person, but I'm going to say a more authentic version of myself.
Okay. And would it be mainly anxiety that you would have been dealing with in the past, or would it be a combination of lots of different mental illnesses?
It was primarily ADHD.
Okay.
But as we're starting to see in some of the research literature now, severe ADHD like I have can present as other mental illnesses. So, I kind of fell through the cracks a little bit. It took me 5 years in 2 different cities to arrive at my diagnosis and receive the appropriate treatment that I needed. So like depression, and they thought bipolar, and then they thought borderline personality disorder for a while, and nothing ever really made sense. And I wasn't getting better until I finally met the therapist I'm with now. And she just kind of laid everything out for me in a very clear, concise way. And it was kind of like, oh, you know, this is manageable. This is manageable. I'm not damaged. I'm not broken. It's just, my brain is a little bit different from other people's, and there's ways to manage that in a way that's healthy and pro-social.
And how, as an adult, do you think that you handle your ADHD?
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, like in university, I was self-medicating just with caffeine, right? Just coffee. I was drinking a lot of coffee, but you know, obviously that's not healthy, right? Because I mean, really, well, and I don't know if you've seen in the news lately, but some of these discussions around, you know, decriminalizing small amounts of drugs for personal use. I mean, self-medication, substance use really is just a self-medication, whether that's caffeine or something else, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I coped for a really long time, is I didn't realize that there was a problem, let alone what the problem was.
So you then getting that diagnosis and getting that label, how does that change your life?
Well, it changes everything. And I, in my mind, for the better, because now I have a word that I can use to describe my experience. Right now I can read the research literature and kind of understand myself a little bit better. I can communicate where I'm at with other people. Like if I do something silly, right? If I have an absent-minded moment in the past, I either would have blamed someone or blamed myself. But now I can just say, hey, you know what? I just had an ADHD moment. Like, it's not personal. It's not personal to you. It's not personal to me. This is just how my brain works. And if you're okay with that, we're going to find a way to make this work.
So it's really just about kind of staying present and trying to figure out. But I suppose the big key thing to you is that explanation. I suppose one of the great things that has happened is that ADHD and so many other things, dyspraxia, dyslexia, all those things now are kind of common knowledge. And it's not like, even when you say it now, like, I mean, years ago, when you say things like that, you kind of get funny looks, whereas now it's become more acceptable.
It's become more acceptable. In my opinion, one of the big problems that still exists diagnostically in a lot of different areas is specifically the gendered nature of the diagnostic tools that are being used right now. Because again, I fell through the cracks. I wasn't diagnosed with ADHD and properly taken care of, treated, whatever, until I was 29 or 30. So I'll just say this, and I hope this isn't controversial, but I honestly think it's because I was a woman, because the ADHD diagnostic tools are based around the idea of this male presentation of ADHD. So you got the fidgety little kid that can't sit still in class, but he's really good at sports. Whereas I was always very academically inclined.
Yes.
My brain is very disorganized, right? So it's that disorganized type of ADHD, and we're starting to come away from that now, but we're still seeing that a lot of times. For instance, the overdiagnosis, I would say overrepresentation of women diagnosed with BPD versus men with antisocial personality disorder, right? We kind of see that gendered split in terms of what we expect to see as a presentation of a mental health challenge.
Okay. So, living at the moment in your life and in your world and getting therapy on a regular basis, are you on some sort of medication as well for the ADHD?
I take my medications as prescribed. Yep,
Yeah,
absolutely, by a doctor.
okay. No, that there's different ways that different people work with it. So you're but
Absolutely.
your tablet or your tablet is actually working for you, because trying to find that balance sometimes can be quite hard.
Yes. So with all these misdiagnoses, I have tried a lot of different psychiatric medications, but right now I am just on the medication for ADHD, and I am performing above and beyond what I've ever been able to do. It's like a superpower. Therapy is like a superpower. It's amazing.
Well, when you get rid of all those blocks and you get rid of all those fears, you can really do anything you want to do in life, it's just such a
Absolutely.
powerful place to be in. And even having done therapy myself in the past, I know what it's like to be so free, and having dealt with anxiety for 20 years of my life, I know what it's like to not have anxiety, it can be really, it is a really powerful place. And I would highly recommend it to everybody, but I have to say that, I suppose.
Absolutely.
But I mean,
Well, it's true.
So you now living the life that you live in, I know you have a blog, and you're writing, and I believe that you're hoping to write a book as well at some stage. Or are you in the process of writing a book?
Yeah, I finished the first draft of a novel that
Okay.
I'm hoping to publish at some point, but I do have a collection of short stories and poems out on my portfolio if anyone ever wanted to check it out. It's on
Okay.
my website, theblackcastle.ca.
Okay, great name for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great name. Yeah, and so how I mean, now that you have you live your life, like, I mean, do you live your life without fear, or do, obviously some aspects of fear still come up in your life?
That's a really good question. I think right now I'm not living with a lot of fear because for the first time in my life, everything feels like it's on an upward trend.
Okay.
I don't want to say I'm fearless. I'm going to say that I, right now, my biggest fear is, I don't know, the kind of thing you see in the news, I guess, right? You see crime reports in the news and you go, oh my gosh, that I can't believe that would happen in my town.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of what scares me, more just like big-minded civic issues. But in terms of like going out and approaching someone on the street or speaking up about my needs or, having a disagreement with a close friend, those things don't scare me anymore. No,
Yeah.
definitely not.
Doesn't it feel like a superpower when you can go out and you can actually do that?
Well, exactly. Well, as long as I have just been honest with myself and others, nothing really bad has come of it.
And obviously staying present and not getting too much pulled into, as I was talking before you came on about, anxiety really is having the fear of being fearful of the fear.
Yes.
So
Yes.
stepping into the present and stepping out into the world, and facing those fears, because they're never as bad as you think they are,
Well, exactly. Well, and that was kind of why I spoke a little bit earlier to some of my life experience outside of my academic education, right? My academic accomplishments was just that, when you're thrust into these situations where you really don't know what's going to happen next, you kind of have to get comfortable making snap decisions and having that integrity, because then when something unexpected happens, you know how to respond. You would just respond, however, like honestly, you would just respond honestly, with empathy. And so a lot of those little fears just start, I don't want to say this, but when you were talking about exposure therapy, when you start to get into those sorts of situations, a lot of the little fears just feel insignificant. And then you have this moment of, well, why was I ever really scared of public speaking? Because if I can approach someone honestly and empathetically, who another person might be frightened of, right? A situation that might frighten someone, and you can approach that honestly with integrity and empathy, right? And so, yeah, I really do think you're right. I think there's a lot of value in not minimizing, but just kind of
Yeah.
contextualizing anxiety and fear. Yeah.
And I think that is the key. So, believe it or not, we're coming to the end. Sorry about the gremlins at the start, but that's what happens sometimes on live radio when you're pressing your own buttons and stuff like that yourself. So, if people want to check out your blog or anything like that, they can find you on your website, Black Castle, is it?
theblackcastle.ca.
Absolutely.
So
what message around mental health would you like to give to people? Any words of wisdom around mental health? I know I'm kind of landing it on you.
In my experience, the best way to defeat fear and self-doubt is with honesty, integrity, empathy, and assertiveness.
Okay. That sounds like a fantastic message. Integrity is definitely the key part for you anyway, I think.
I think so, yeah.
And, you know, that's onwards and upwards. So I really appreciate taking the phone call from me. And maybe we'll do this again sometime and maybe explore some other subjects or something like that somewhere along the lines.
I would love that. That sounds perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Julia. Thanks very much. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Sure. Bye. That was Julia Stamm, all the ways from Canada. Just quickly there to finishing up on fear, there's a question that just came along there wondering, does fear always have a source and do you have to discover it to help things? Well, I suppose that comes on two things. One, fear more often than not has a source, and finding that source and fixing that source is really, really important. But sometimes, you know, with flooding and with exposure therapy, you can kind of confront that fear and you can fix it. And yes, it does fall into habits, and breaking any habit is hard. But, it just takes perseverance, it takes strength, it takes a belief in yourself. My best way to describe habits is that, you know, you have a dog, you teach it to bring the ball back, and then you try to teach it not to bring the ball back. And it takes time, but you get there eventually. And it's the same with any habits that we have in ourselves. I hope that in brief answers your question, Una. If you need more information around that, you can send me a text and I can talk more about it, or talk to you separately off air or something like that.